So we started Parshas Kisavai. We're back to Bikurim. It's back to school, back to the beginning of our Limud. And the Parsha of Bikurim, in and of itself, presents to us a number of very fascinating questions, and some of them not so simple to answer. So when a person would arrive, and he'd bring his Bikurim, and he'd have his basket, and he'd come to the base of Middash, starting at Atzeres, starting at the time of Shavuos, what exactly would he say? Well, what would be the words that that individual would say? Right. So it would sound like that it should start with Arami Oved Avi, right? Because the beginning of the pasuk says, if you just look inside the psukim over here, this is Chavav Hey in source one. Va'anisa va'amart lifnei Hashem lakecha. You shall declare articulately. Va'anisa doesn't always mean you'll answer, but it means to say you'll say articulately. Arami Oved Avi. So you start there. Arami Oved Avi. Where does it end? Where does the person stop talking? That's true. But in this particular instance,
I imagine it would be somewhere in the middle of the pasuk Yud.
Okay, so if we skip down, you'll see there's five psukim over here. And in the middle of pasuk Yud, it says Chavav Yud, dropping down. And now I'm bringing the fruit which God gave me. What about the end of the pasuk? Does he say that?
That's then full Caesar.
What was that?
That's then full Caesar. It's a stage direction.
Right. Exit speaker.
2 weeks
what was this?
This was in your speech 2 weeks ago.
Yes, well. Exactly. So this is definitely very topical. The question though is what I'm trying to understand is, where can you put the quotation marks into the psukim over here? Where do you insert them, and where do you put them at the end before the speech closes? So I think it's more or less fair to say that Arami Oved Avi is the beginning. But over here, where would you put the quotation marks? In this pasuk over here?
When you finish pasuk.
Oh, so that's a little bit of an issue over here. You see, it sounds like that when he says, and these are the fruit that I brought which God gave me, that's the end of his speech. That sounds fair, right? V'hinach toi is, now, the pasuk has stepped out of voice, right? Meaning, who's speaking now? Is the Torah, essentially Moshe Rabbeinu at this point in time, saying, and that individual put his basket down, right? So it's no longer our farmer who's got the speech bubble coming out of him. It's now the Torah reflecting on the person and what he's doing. Fair? Problem is, as Mari was mentioning over here, is there happens to be a concept, and that is that, we'll see, let's take a look at it inside, is that you can't just break up Sukkim just like that. You can't just break up Sukkim. Let's see why in a moment. First of all, just to note in the Rambam over here, just to make sure we're on the right halachic perspective, he says, as quoting this mitzvah, he says, "Mitzvahs aser lihisvados b'mikdash ala bikurim b'shas shemivion." There's a mitzvah too. It's interesting that he uses the word hisvados, which is in a certain sense to confess, which I, because the next parasha is called Vidui Meiser. It's interesting that he uses a similar lashon over here. Masli l'korah higadati hayom l'Hashem l'kecho kivasi ala aretz. He says, he starts earlier, actually. I told today that I came in front of Hashem, your God. Arami Oved Avi. Ad Shigmo Kol HaParsha, Ad Asher Nosato Li Hashem. You stop in the middle of Pasuk Yud, where you finish up saying, and this is the land which God gave me. Finish. And that's the end of it. That's the end of it. So it's a correct halachic assumption to make, that that's what he's saying. But the problem is how does that really work over here? Because the Gemara in Brachos says the following. This is the source of this notion of keeping Pesukim whole. The question at hand in the Gemara in Brachos over here, in Yud Beis and Beis, is the question is, what are we going to put for the third paragraph of Shema? So there are a few suggestions which are tendered. Om Rabbi Abou ben Zutrusi. Om Rabbi Yehuda bar Zvida. Bikshu likvo Parshas Balak b'kriya Shema. They wanted to put Parshas Balak. All the blessings of Bilam, they would have put it there as the last Parshas of Kriya Shema. Can you imagine? You think it's bad waiting for the rabbi. Right, can you imagine? Umibnei ma loy kavua mishum toirach atzibur. Oh, so why didn't they exactly because of this issue? Why didn't they do this because of?
The rabbi.
Toirach atzibur. Right, that would have taken too long. It would have been just, the Chazal understood the pressures of the workday. And they understood that this would be something we wouldn't be able to manage. My timer. So now the Gemara asks a more fundamental question. Why, pray tell, in the first place, did we even want to? Why did we want to put Parshas Bilam, or Parshas Balak as it's called, as the third paragraph of Kriya Shema? that we have to knock it down by saying it's the Torah HaTzibur in the first place. So we said, if it's because it says Kel Motzi Yami Mitzrayim, that God took them out of Egypt, and therefore what? Why is that important? Because we know? Why should that be the reason why we should put it there in Kriya Shema? Because there's a mitzvah of Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim every day, and we know in fact that the parasha that we say is the third paragraph actually incorporates that. Right? That's what we say, the last pasuk Kriya Shema incorporates that. So if what you're trying to achieve is simply the mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim, then in the Gemara says very logically, Lema Parshas Ribis or Parshas Mishkalos, Jisivam Yetzias Mitzrayim. There are many other, much shorter opportunities to do such. Therefore, that can't be the reason we suggested it. Elo Omer Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin. Rabbi Yossi suggests, you know why we wanted to say it? Mishum Tichsiv Bo Haikra, because this pasuk was said in it. Korah Shochav Ka'ari Uchlavi Mi Yikimenu. He crouches like a lion, or he lies down like a lion, and like a young cub, who will raise him. Why should that be related to Kriya Shema? Why should that be something so emblematic, so necessary to be part of Kriya Shema? Why?
The opening of the Torah would be like a lion.
It's true, but why is that Kriya Shema? That should be the beginning of your day. Why Kriya Shema specifically? More than that, it's more specific. What's the requirement of Kriya Shema? What's the time frame of Kriya Shema? We say every day? So therefore, this in a certain sense is framing it in the same way. Do you notice the words Kima and Shriva over there in the same pasuk? So it says the Torah, the blessing of Bilam was something so profound it related to the very chiyuv of Kriya Shema itself. So maybe you should have patented after it in the same way, like getting up as it was strength, like you're saying, but in terms of the same framework. That's the suggestion of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, wait a second. So now, let's reframe ourselves. That's why we wanted to do it. Why didn't we do it? Because? Too long. So the Gemara makes a very simple suggestion. V'leimah hai psukah v'tuloy. Say that section. Say what you want to say and leave it. Then you don't have it too long. Answers the Gemara in here, Zaklal. Gemiri, we have, what's the word? How do you translate the word Gemiri? Very important over here. Well, in this particular instance, Gemiri means? Usually the word Gemiri over here means to say, it's a Gemiri, it's a halach, which is learned out, not just any halach ala Moshe Misina, meaning to say, this is a tradition. When you see the word Gemiri in the Gemara, it usually means that. So there is a tradition, says the Gemara. This is not just something that they're deducing now. This is something they have a tradition for in the past. Kol parsha. Kol parsha de paska Moshe Rabbeinu paskinon de loy paska Moshe Rabbeinu loy paskinon. Then we have a tradition that you don't stop in the middle of psukim. You don't just take and cut and chop up psukim. This becomes really relevant in a lot of times throughout davening. Right?
Aruch Shana Santara. We stop in the middle.
Excellent question. If you look at the Yud Gimel Midos, which we'll get to in just a moment, the Yud Gimel Midos, what do you do? V'nakei. Do you know that it's not only is it the middle of the pasuk, it's the middle of the phrase. V'nakei lo yinakei, right? It's actually in the trop if you're the Baal Koreh. V'nakei lo yinakei, right? It's the middle of the phraseology of the Torah, and we chop it over there. But I was saying more perhaps that's without that is just we say kimitzion teitzei Torah, kimitzion teitzei Torah. Right? What was that?
Isn't it the exact opposite also?
Correct. No, very, very fascinating. Exactly. 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 More than that. It's even worse than that. So he has. This is a very fascinating cloud. By the way, this is something so profound. We talked about this before between Mincha Mariv a few weeks ago. And that is that when you get to the Torah and you look at the Torah over there, there are no breaks except for a psucha and a stuma, essentially, and the shirais. Right? You have half paragraph breaks, or you have, like, let's say, an 8 to 9 letter gap in the middle of a line, and then you'll have one which is a paragraph which ends towards the end of the line. And there's a new line started. That's all the differentiation we have in the Torah. The psukim are not actually put into the Torah. And being a Baal Kori, you would think to yourself, you know, in the end of the day, everybody agrees. Every Jew in the world, every Sefer Torah in the world, all agrees in the psukim. It's a tradition we got at Sinai. God gave it at the same time. So if God gave it at the same time, then why not just put the periods in? I could give it two dots, right? Put the colon. But put the why aren't the psukim mentioned? It's so simple, and it would make it so much easier. It would make the life of every Baal Koreh so much easier. But the answer is that already, even though it's a tradition from Moshe Mitzrayim, that tradition, those psukim, those marks, are already a level of interpretation. You just appreciate the beauty of that. That's already there are a level of interpretation. There are so many times the Gemara will darshan. It says, "Minan tchias amesim min haTorah." How do we know that tchias amesim exists? We're going to see it in a couple of weeks' time. That it says that after Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die, right? V'shachavta im avosecha, I think. V'koma am, then this nation will get up. So the Chazal Darshan, if you drop where the pasuk ended, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to go and rest with his fathers and ascend. Meaning, who's going to ascend? Moshe Rabbeinu. Meaning, the pasuk itself, in its division, means one thing. Pull that out and you have another meaning altogether. And therefore the Torah itself doesn't limit itself. The Torah itself doesn't limit itself even to the tradition at Sinai as where they're broken up. But nevertheless, says the Gemara, but the same tradition says that you should realize that the primary division of them is as we are given at Moshe Mishnah, and we can't play with that. So therefore, coming back to over here, is you have this person standing up there with Bikurim, and he finishes in the middle of the Pasuk, and now the narrator continues. Wait a second, how does that work? Right? If the Torah wanted us to say this Pasukim, the Pasuk should have ended there, and then he can say a full Pasuk. How does it work that he's standing up there and saying half Pasukim? That's the question on a halachic level as to what's going on over here. Right, this is the same tradition given at Sinai. It's the same pasuk being said. So how do the two work together? Question number one. Let's delve a little deeper. There's another issue over here. This issue, by the way, is something which I think is less known, but it is very, very worthwhile considering. This is, if you just flip over to the next page over here, in source 5. This is a mission in Bikurim. We're told the following. Borishona, in the beginning. Kol misha yodeh likrois koreb. Kol misha ena yodeh likrois makrin oisai. If a person knew how to do Kriya, what is this referring to? Mikra Bikurim, right? So if a person knows how to do Mikra Bikurim, and he knows how to say the words, what does he do? He does it himself. But remember that we're talking about farmers coming from every corner, every nook and cranny of Eretz Yisrael. Not all of them necessarily have had the opportunity of education. They don't have a day school education. Their parents are teaching them, the Rabbonim. So what happens if a person doesn't know how to read? Makrin Oisai, what does that mean? Makrin Oisai, they read it for him. They make him read it. They make him say it out loud. That's the makri. Nimnu milahavi hiskinu shiyu makrin es mishi yodav es mishi enu yodav. Right, when people stopped bringing, they made a takana that they would be makri everybody. Because what happened is people feel embarrassed. Right, you have the individuals who need to press the button to get the answer, and it made them feel bad. So they did it for everybody. It was the protocol that nobody felt bad. By the way, you see this also implemented in the baskets as well. Right, there were certain standards that were set in order to be able to not make certain people feel bad about this.
That's also why I've heard that. Why did we say the Shias Rambam we use a Rami Ovid Ovi in the Agada on Pesach? Because that's everybody knew that by heart. Not everybody had a God in those days.
That's a very good question.
That's what they said, 'cause every farmer knew.
Very interesting. Very interesting. That's a very interesting point. You should notice, by the way, that in the Haggadah we quote how many Pesukim of a Rami Ovid Ovi? How many of the Pesukim do we quote? We quote only 4 psukim. There's 5 psukim now, Rami Ovid Ovi and Mikra Bikurim. Right? We quote 4 psukim. By the way, it's not just psukim. Each pasuk is actually a different segment of the Geula and the Geula and the Goddess. If you think about it, if you just go back to the psukim for 1 second, this is a very fascinating point. First point is in pasuk Hay is Rami Ovid Ovi, Rami Mitzrayim, Vayagav Shomim Seim Ot Vayishonu Goy Gadol Vatzuvarav. Point number one is we went down to Mitzrayim. Point number two, Vayirei Osan Mitzrayim, Vayanenu Vayalet Nela Avadokasha. Then it turns sour. See, separate theme altogether. Next pasuk. We cried out to God. We called out to God. God heard us. That's the next stage. Then the fourth stage, which we quote, and we end with this. And God took us out. That's, by the way, when we start talking about the plagues, right? That's when we start getting to Dayenu in the Haggadah, right? That's the transition over there. Notice that we do not quote the fifth and last pasuk over here, which is, this is the missing fifth. This is the fifth part of that Agada which we don't quote, which is about, in a certain sense, the full redemption. Right? Because on Pesach, somehow, we're lacking that fifth element. Okay, but this is just is a very important to realize. And as you said, the most basic reason is because it's because people were shocked with you. David, you had a thought?
Just dovetailing the idea of not embarrassing people. The wealthy would bring gold baskets, and the poor, the wicker baskets. Rashi notes, and that could be a sign of people feeling badly that the wealthy could
correct
play their wealth.
Exactly the same thing. They standardized that as well. So exactly to eliminate that. There are many instances of this as well. You know, on Tu B'Av, when women would go out into the fields, they would borrow dresses. You know, this is be the same thing. Is that there were certain times where you needed to make sure that it's not going to be a contest or make people feel bad for not being in the same category. So this is one example. But what's the issue over here?
Well,
There's a real big issue over here. There's a really big issue over here, and a halachic issue. And this is something actually very relevant to today. What was that? Well, that was number one in terms of splitting, but more than that. Over here we have a very fascinating thing. Do you notice that there's two elements of Torah? There's two categories of Torah, and they are Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebaal Peh, right? Torah Shebaal Peh, the other way around. Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebaal Peh. Now, it happens to be that they play on their own rhythms. They've got their own rules. So here are the rules. Okay, this is a famous Gemara in Gittin Dach Samach Amabeis. The Gemara says like this: Torah Rabbi Yehuda Bar Nachmeni, Miturgamino de Rabbi Yishimon Bar Lakish. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Nachmeni, he was the translator. He was the one to disseminate the information of Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish. He would say, "Ksiv Kusoyv Locha Es Advarim Ha'Ele Uksiv Al Ki Al Pia Advarim Ha'Ele." We're told that we need to write down the Torah. On the other hand, we're told that it's Al Pia Advarim, which means to say that it's based on the tradition of those things. Ha Ketzad, is it written down or is it Bal Peh? This is a very important klal. Dvarim shebichsav yata rishai la'omram bal peh. Dvarim shebal peh yata rishai la'omram bichsav. If you have something which is part of the Torah shebichsav, you cannot simply read it without looking at it. And if you have something which is in the Torah shebal peh, you cannot simply write it down. Stop. So let's think about society today. So how is it that we have behind us hundreds and hundreds of volumes of Torah shebal peh which are written down? If there's a problem with writing it down, how does it work? So the continuation of this Gemara is this is exactly the Gemara where it says the writing of the Mishnah in a codified manner would be something we would do in necessary because people started to forget because of the Tzaras they needed to write it down. That became the point where they started to do it, and they did it in a very clever way. They did it in a way that the Mishnayos were actually inaccessible. Just it wasn't that they were simply writing down a textbook. They wrote them in an inductive fashion, such that they were inaccessible except you had a Rebbe to help you. So they were only the basic points. That's why when you go through the Gemara and you read all these things, you see, chasuri mechzor v'hachik sani. You know, meaning, it doesn't read like this, it reads exactly the opposite. The reason why that was necessary is they codified it in such a way that the only way you could access it is with a person who is a Baal Masorah as well. And that was the process that they slowly codified it in a way in which we still needed the Torah Shebaal Peh element of it, but the Torah Shebichsav of it remained with the major foundations weren't lost. That was the way they did it. So now the greater question is on the other side. Dvarim Shebichsav Yat Torah Shebaal Omram Baal Peh. So the halacha is you can't just say Torah Shebichsav Baal Peh. So wait a second.
Even if it says by Nisav Amartam.
So first of all, our question is going to have to be, of course, by Bikurim. Makrin Osoi, the person over here is saying it, right? So how does he say Torah B'Shevichsav? But you have to think of, well, is this Halach L'maisa? And the answer is, yes. Very fascinatingly enough, take a look at this. Shulchan Aruch, right in front of us, in source 7, this is an Aruch Chaim Memtes. Aval Pi D'Kaimelon. Now he gives us a few exceptions, which make it a little easier to think about. Aval Pi D'Kaimelon, Dvarim Shevichsav, Iyata Rishai, Le'omron Alpeh, called Dvavar Shirogil Vishogur Bifikol Hako Kagoin Kriyashma Ubra Ubirkas Kohanim Upashus Tomid Vakayatzabohen Mutar. Okay. So first of all, the more important thing to see over here is it is Halacha L'maisa. It is Halacha L'maisa. You can't just start rattling off psukim if not necessary, unless it's Shogur Bifikol, unless it's something which everybody is saying. Very fascinating. Right? But this doesn't help us with Bikurim necessarily. Depends, right? Depends how shogor befikol, how much people would know about it. By the way, notice that the Mogen Avraham actually deals with a few examples. He suggests in source 8, likrois haparsha bal peh b'shas shashatz koire ani nizar aval eni moichel acherim. Those people who are listening to the bal kore and they're saying it off by heart, but they're not looking inside. They're saying it off by heart. It always happens the first aliyah. Everybody's very proud of the first aliyah. Right? Because everybody at some point in time has had a chance to learn the first aliyah. Right? So and also the best time is Ko'ele. Right? Everybody knows Ko'ele, right? So he says the Magen Avraham, I'm not going to make a clap on the bimah. He says, by myself, I'd refrain from doing it if I'm not looking inside. That's interesting because that's an example where it's not shogob if you call. Not everybody knows it. But you should really be reading this. Another example where this comes up is every 13th year, when you have a child becoming a bar mitzvah, what happens is we get them to know it so well. In fact, we call it laning. They lane it up. They know it off by heart. They could do it with their eyes closed. The problem is they can't do it with their eyes closed. So you have to be very careful to make sure that when they're doing the Kriya Satara, they're actually looking inside. If they're you know, sometimes they're losing focus, but it's off by heart by that point in time, it's a problem. Because it's Dvarim Shebiksav Yatzarah Shalom Amram Ba'Peh. It's very important, especially at the time of Kriyas HaTorah, to do that. So by the way, this Mishnah Berurah is very important for people like myself. And the Mishnah Berurah says, La'omram Ba'Peh, Misha Doresh Barabim, Bahar Be'Psukim, Shebatorah, Vekoshila Lachapes, Bechol Shah, Bechumash, Mimne Kovar Tzibur, Efsho Shiesh Lahakel. Okay. So if you're going to be darshan b'fnei rabbim and it's going to be a torah to quote, let's say the psukim which are not on the notes, but it's going to be a torah to get a chumash every time, and you want to just mention a particular pasuk, then a person's allowed to mention it. Efshelah hakel says the Mishnah Berurah. So this seems to be a very ironclad rule. I mean, this doesn't seem to be something which is negotiable. Kriyas Shema Birkas Kohanim, maybe. So then what's happening at Mikra Bikurim? Again, these are the same rules set down. At the same time, the Torah is being given, which was referring to Bikurim. So how do the two live in the same compartment? So what's suggested over here is there's a really fascinating, very, very, very clever, very distinct mahalach presented by Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in MS Liakov. He suggests a very important point, and that is that most of the mitzvahs that we perform, the Torah tells us about doing them, and then when we do them with another object or in another instance. So for instance, the Torah tells us to shake a lulav. To pick up a lulav, essentially. So what happens? The psukim are telling us the action, but the action itself is not necessarily related to the psukim. Right? When I'm shaking the lulav, I'm not saying anything of the psukim. I might say a brocha, which is a midrabanan, about doing that mitzvah. However, there are certain instances where reading the psukim themselves actually are the mitzvah itself. Where the reading itself becomes the mitzvah. So an example being is Birkas Kohanim. Kol Sevarchu es Bnei Yisrael. This is how you should bless them, Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. When they are saying the psukim, it is the equivalent of the shaking of the lulav. They are doing the mitzvah by saying the psukim. And another example would be, Mikra Bikurim. Va'anisa va'amarta, you should say what? These psukim. When saying these psukim, it's like the equivalent of the shaking of the lulav of that individual on Sukkos. So says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, there's a big distinction when it comes to the mitzvah, which is being achieved via those psukim, than when you're learning Torah, or you're talking about Torah. Because the Torah tells us that it's necessary to say these psukim as the kiyum, as the actual fulfillment of that mitzvah, it walks to its own tune. It has its own rules. It is not bound by, first of all, the rule that we saw called psukah delo pascha moshe. It's not bound by the same rigidity of not being able to be split up. And therefore, it can be half psukim, because that's what the Torah is telling you to do. The Torah is explicitly making an exception from the regular default. And similarly, he says, and that's what's very fascinating as well, is that a person would not necessarily need to say them looking in a Torah, because the Torah is telling you to say them. Therefore, the fulfillment doesn't need it. Why is this so important? How many Kohanim in the room? How many Kohanim do you have in the room? Well, think about it. When's the last time you saw a Kohen who has a Sefer Torah underneath the talus? Right? When is the last time you saw a Kohen who's holding a Sefer Torah underneath the talus while he's doing Berakas Kohanim? Doesn't work so well. How is it possible that Dvarim Shebichsav Yatar Shalom Amram Ba'Peh? How is he able to say psukim, which are explicit in the Torah, but he's saying them without looking? You know, they have these fancy cards these days, right? But, right? The Chazan is being makre him, but at the end of the day, he's not looking in the text as he's saying it. That's the issue. How do you know what was that? Okay. So Murray says we don't know what he has under his talus. Okay. We don't know. Next time somebody take a peek and see what Murray has under his talus. But in general, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, it's because the Torah tells you. The Torah is telling you that that's the way it works. It's not bound by the same laws. So therefore, you don't need to necessarily have it. You don't need to necessarily have that. Yet you need to be makred. You need to read it from the Torah itself, because this is an example. He makes one further observation, which is a very fascinating one, and he says that maybe it might even be true. That therefore, because this is not a fulfillment, this is not essentially our notion of limud Torah. It's not learning Torah. It's fulfilling a mitzvah via the reading of the psukim of the Torah. One may not even need to say Birkas HaTorah on this. So let's say you have a kohen who walks into shul, and Eretz Yisrael, this is a possibility on a daily basis. A kohen walks into shul and is near the end, they say, Nu, come and do Birkas Kohanim. And he hasn't said it be his Birkas HaTorah, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, he'll be able to do Birkas Kohanim. Oh, wait a second, he's reading psukim in the Torah, you can't get better than that. And he hasn't necessarily Birkas HaTorah, says Yaakov. No, because again, it's not a function of limud. You're not learning. You're fulfilling a mitzvah. These words are in fact now a mechanism of achieving a particular mitzvah, and therefore they're allowed, which creates a whole completely different category. Let me just finish with one thought. And this is, and that is the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham actually says, takes us one step further. And now, 2 centuries earlier than Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Magen Avraham was bothered by the question which was raised earlier, which is, there are a number of times in davening where we do cut up psukim. One example being, as we're going to be doing in a week and a half, 2 weeks, it's very, very, very short, very close to us, will be slichos, right? We're going to be doing Yud Gimel Midos, we're going to be stopping in the Nakeh. There are many examples in davening where we do this. And so the Magen Avraham suggests, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but in the end of source 10, where I emboldened it, the second last line, he says, "Umashu amri psukim betzvila yeshloima kevon dekore oisam derech techina ubakasha shari kamoshe kasa simum memtes betur." So he says that because you're saying them in the tefillah, it might be permissible. There's another example where the Magen Avraham says this, but I don't have it explicitly. Where he actually refers to the Yud Gimel Midos, where the notion is that in a certain sense, what you've done is you've removed it from its function of limud Torah. And you've transposed it into now what's essentially tefillah. Once it's transposed into tefillah, it functions differently. And therefore, it doesn't have the same limitations that a person might necessarily have as reading the Torah itself. Which is, by the way, just so logical, so fundamental, but necessary to see inside yet. I want to completely switch topics to a completely different idea. And this is something which I read through, and I just... This is the most unbelievable shiva. This is the response of the Rambam. A letter he sends the Rambam, says the very bottom of page 2, going on to page 3. I think it relates to our parasha, and it's just so important to read, so important to appreciate. The Rambam says the following. This is the Shaila which he responds to Rabbi Avadia ben Ger Tzedek. That was his name. Rabbeinu Moshe Zecher L'Vracha V'Tshuvasov. So he asks him a very important question. This is Rabbi Avadia Ger Tzedek. He says, Omar Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon. The Rambam says, Okay. Which page? We're at the very top of page 3. The very top of page 3. Very easy. This is a very easy to read shiva, but it's just very important just to get it. This is a sensitivity which is so important. I received the question from Rav Avadia Ger Tzedek, and Hashem should pay him well for what he's done. He should receive his full payment because of what because he came to find live under the wings of Hashem. By the way, you can hear his svardi. Yes, it's the blessings are so, you know, when you hear the Rambam speaking, when you hear the Maribe Rav speaking in the Beis Yosef, you see the beautiful blessings they give. He says, Sha'altol iske habrochos va'tvilos beincha lebein atzmecha. The question he has is, should I say something which would seem to be something very particular to the Jews? God of our fathers and our forefathers. This person just entered the fold this year, or maybe a generation back. Should I talk about the nisim which were done to, in the times of the Chashmonai, to my parents, when they weren't to my parents? My parents are living in a different place. Should I talk about the land which was given to my forefathers, when in the end of the day it wasn't given to my forefathers? So, and he asks, by the way, you see on two levels. He asks on the level of personally and communally. Very, very strong question. By the way, these questions are being asked all the time. He says the following. Yesh lecha loymar hakol ketikunam v'al teshaneh davar. You shouldn't have to change anything, says the Rambam. You should do both individually and communally as everybody else does. Why? Because Avraham Avinu was the one who taught all of society the truth. The Yichudoi Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Yichud, the unification of Hashem across the world, Uvaat B'Avodah Zarah, and he rejected, he kicked Avodah Zarah, the Hefer Avodah Zarah, and he annulled its service, V'ichnis Rabim Tachas Kanfei HaShchina, and he brought many under the folds of the Shchina, V'limdom V'hoirom And he brought his household and all those who came with him to keep follow the words of Hashem. As it says in the Torah, that's a footnote Aleph, which got bigger apparently. Because I know that he'll teach his whole household and his children to follow the words of God. Beginning of Parshas Vayera.
Usually, when a male there, it becomes Ben Abraham, whatever name is given.
Correct.
So
Interesting. So, meaning to say, the fact that he even takes on the name of Avram or Sarah would be because ideologically he is a child of Avraham. So, listen how he takes it. Levicha kol mi sheyisgar at soif kol adoros v'kol miyached shmoi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Any ger, or to all generations, who's going to unify the name of Hashem, shukosu b'Torah, v'talmidov shel Avram Avinu olav ha-shalom. He is part of the household of Avram, which is, as you said, Yana, why we say he's a Ben Avram. In a certain sense, you're coming under the same mission. What Avram was doing in his lifetime, you are a direct recipient of that same mission. Nimsa Avram Avinu Alav Hashalom, who Av leZaroi Haksherim Haochim beDrachav. So essentially, Avram is your patriarch, says the Rambam. And he's the father of any Talmud who will convert. You can say, our God and the God of our fathers. Why? Avraham hu avicha. Avraham is your patriarch. The land which God gave to our fathers. Why? Avraham nosno aretz. I think it means Shinema boy, kum hisalech ba'aretz, la'arko l'rachba ki l'cha etnena, because that was said to whom? To Avram Avinu. And Avram, in a certain sense, is your father. Aval, sh'atzeisanu mimitzrayim, or sh'asisa al nisim lavoseinu. You see the hole here? You see the problem in logic here? When it comes to taking us out of Mitzrayim, that wasn't done to Avram particularly, right? So if the connection is directly to Avram, and the land was given to Avram, that's great. And here's our father, that's fine. But what about the Nisim and the Yetzias Mitzrayim? So he says, Im Ratzisa L'Shanas V'Leimar Sheitzesa Es Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim V'Shasisa Nisim Im Yisrael Emor. If you want to change it yourself, you can. Meaning, I mean, he's going to leave that to your sensitivity. V'im Loi Shanisa Ein B'Kach Hefzed Klum Ma'acha Shenichnasta Tachas Kanfei Ashchina. If you don't feel comfortable changing it, don't worry, because you came to reside under the Shekhinah, v'nilvisa elav, and you came attached to him, ein kan, hefresh beineinu uveinecho. There is absolutely no distinction. V'kol anisim shenasu ka'elu, lonu v'lecho na'asu. In a certain sense, historically, think about the profundity of the statement. Historically, those nisim were done not just for us. Meaning, the nisim, let's say, they were done 4 generations ago. They weren't done just for our parents. They're done for everybody who's going to be a beneficiary of them, meaning us as children, and those who are going to become children, says the Rabbi. B'chol davar, everybody. And he says, Ein shum hefresh klal b'neinu v'encha l'kol davar. V'ada yesh l'cha l'varech asher bacha banu. You chose us, including himself, v'asher nosan lanu, and v'asher gave us the Torah, v'asher chilanu, v'asher yivdalanu, and you distinguished us from the goyim. God chose you and distinguished you from the nations. And because the Torah is for us and those who will come. I'm not sure that's what it says. Oh, Shinemar, thank you. Hakel chuka achas lochem v'lager, chukas oylam l'doroisechem, kochem v'kager yiyeh lifnei Hashem. The pasuk says that a person needs to be completely included. Everybody together. Torah achas mishpat echad yelochem lager hagor itchem. That's what it means. Literally, the Torah means we're all the same Torah for everybody. V'da ki avoseinu shiatzum imitzrayim rubam avdekoch avodazoros. He says, let's be honest. Our forefathers who left Mitzrayim weren't at the highest level of spirit or the spiritual totem pole. Harat. They were assimilated. They learned from their actions. Hashem had to extract them, our forefathers, to bring him out of the Shekhinah. And therefore, in a certain sense, they were in the same position as you. Right? They had to distinguish themselves like you did. Don't let your yichus be something which is a concern for you. You know, the Jews are all saying, wait a second, we're all from Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. He says, remember, you're coming from God. That's one step closer. Thank you. There we go. V'chem mufurish b'Yeshayahu zeh yoymar la'ashem ani v'zeh yikre b'shem Yaakov v'koma shamarnu. Okay, so that's the pasuk in Yeshayahu. He says, v'koma shamarnu l'cha b'inyan habrochos sh'loy t'shaneh. That's footnote 4. It says there's a raya, there's a proof for this from Bikurim. That's why it's related to the sixth parasha. Why? It says Tamon Taninon in the Mishnah we know in Bikurim it says Hager mevi ve'eno kore she'eno yochol lo mar asher nishpa Hashem lavoseinu loses lanu. The Mishnah says that a ger has the mitzvah of bringing Bikurim, havas Bikurim, which according to the Rambam is a separate mitzvah, but he doesn't have the mitzvah of doing mikra Bikurim. Why? Because he can't say that this is the land that God gave to our forefathers. Israel, and he has to say the gods of Israel, not himself. But when he's praying communally, he can say our fathers. Why? Because he's with other people who are.
So, why can't he problem. Say it's the land that he gave our fathers?
Oh,
you just said before.
Fantastic. So he says that's the Mishnah in Bikurim. It's a Stam Mishnah. Says the Rambam, how does this work? He says, well, he, the Rabbi Meir, that Mishnah is according to Rabbi Meir, ve'eino halacha, footnote ches, Ela, k'moishin is parish by Yerushalmi Tamon, Amrinon, Tani b'shem Rabbi Yehuda, ger atzmon mevi v'koire, Rabbi Yehuda paskins against the Stam Mishnah in Yerushalmi, and he says, my time, ki av hamon goyim nesaticha. Avram is called Avraham. Why? Because he's not the nation. He's not just the father of one nation. Avraham Av Hamon Goyim is the father of many nations. Le'sheovar ha'yisa Avi Av la'Avraham mikan ve'elach Av la'kol abrios. And that is taken literally. The fact that his name was changed is to incorporate all future beneficiaries. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer Alocha k'Rabbi Yehuda ato also uvdo kamed Rabbi Abba v'horik Rabbi Yehuda erudu pasas Rabbi Yehuda. Hinei nisparu lecha, shiyesh lecha leimar, asher nishpa Hashem lavoseinu loses lanu. Says the Rambam, bottom line. V'she'avram av lo lecha v'lonu, v'lekol hatzadikim yud aleph, l'lechetz bedracha, v'hu adin neshar abrochos, v'atfilos sh'loi teshane klum. That's what the Rambam says. And you have to just have to appreciate the sensitivity of this Rambam, and also it puts you in place, you know, meaning it puts you in place. We're relying on our yichus, we're looking back and we're looking at how important we are, and the end of the Rambam says, just remember where these Gerim came from. Remember who their father was. I'd like to end with just the following thought outside, and that is that the Agra de Kala says that when it says, Kisavo la'aretz, asher Hashem elokecha naseh necha, that it's referring not necessarily to only Israel who entered the land once upon a time, and therefore it would be obsolete today, because we don't have Mikra Bikurim, unfortunately. It's referring to every individual as the neshama descends to the body. Vayaki savoyla oretz. When that neshama will descend into the oretz, into that finite body, then the mission that we have is v'yirashta v'yoshavta bo, that you should inherit it and take charge of it. Take charge. Make sure that the neshama is in control of that body, that land that it's inherited, that it goes on its mission. And that's something which relays to every generation. Bikurim then, specifically to us. You know, thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.